Father, in Jesus' name, again, we come to you another day in which we are able to speak the word. We're able to talk about the word and share it, Lord, and see how much of a blessing that it is. In the name of Jesus, let it go forth in power and in might. And God, the abundance of the goodness that's from it pour forth into our lives, that we will walk and move and have our being in you and in your word. In Jesus' name, God, bless your word in us, on us, and about our whole day-to-day life. Thank you for it. Amen, amen. All right, I was going to say this. First of all, 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 through 15. This is a story, of course, about two great men in the history of the Bible. The first one's name is Elijah with a J-A-H, and the second one's name is Elisha with the S-H-A. But before I get into really these two men here, it shows us, when you look around and see how life has begun to be and how it is that we're having challenges with different sorts, with the gas, of course, and with the price of it going up, the price of food, and all of those things that's involved in life. As I was trying to get gas myself this week, I began to see the nature of people, the true nature of people. Because a lot of times people are able to hide the real individual on the inside. And I saw people that's about to fight. I saw people that were cheating. They jump in line because they're having a shortage on some things. And so really the true nature is when we are under the pressures of life, what is it that pours out of me? When I'm mad, do curse words come out of me? When I'm upset, do I do different things of different sort? Because people were, they were jumping in line, and in some cases somebody was just caught in the wrong lane and they're trying to get over to get gas, but yet people won't let them in. This little experience I had the other day, there was a guy, he was just kind of caught in the wrong lane. He was trying to get over, but the person beside him was so greedy about getting gas themselves, and because they were way back, they just didn't want to let this guy in. So the guy kind of pulled up beside me. I was putting gas in the van. And when he pulled up beside me, he just asked me, "Can I get over here?" And I let him in. And one of the reasons I let him in is because, number one, the true nature of me is to say, yeah, bless your brother or bless somebody that you can. But the other thing that did me good was, now, stingy you behind, you didn't want to let him get in. He got in anyway in front of you. I'm just saying this. Sometimes when we're going through challenges, it's good for us to suppress the nature to hoard up and to want more and to think that this is the last that it's going to be, and if I don't get it, I ain't going to survive. Sometimes it's all right to say, you know what, I'm going to sit back, relax, enjoy the ride, because God is going to supply my needs anyway. And so be mindful of that as we're getting through this. But here's the thing. 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 through 15. And it came to pass that when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, "Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel." And Elisha said unto him, "As the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, "Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today?" And he said, "Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace." Elijah said unto him, "Elisha, tarry here with me, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho." And he said, "As the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, "Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today?" And he answered, "Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace." And Elijah said, "Tarry here, I pray thee, here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan." And he said, "As the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." And the two went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off, and they too stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither. And so they went over on dry ground. And it came to pass that when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I will do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elijah said, I pray thee, Elijah, let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing, Elisha. Nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass as they went over and talked that, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire and parted them both asunder. Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven, and Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes, and he rent them or tore them in two pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah and fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted thither and hither and thither, and Elisha went over. And when the sons of the prophets which were to view at Jericho saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah does rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. I know that's a long and lengthy scripture that's being read there, but again, it reflects something about us and something that we have within us. And I want to title this message today, The Mantle That We Leave as Elijah's and The Mantle That We Receive as Elisha's. What type of mantle do you have? Because again, I've been talking about family affairs and how it is that we as men, we as women, we are the head of the household, and we have a mantle that we want to leave for our children. In other words, another word that I want to use for a mantle is kind of like, what type of spirit are we leaving behind for the next generation or the next child that comes behind us? In this particular case here, Elijah was like a fatherly image. And as a fatherly image, he was going from one city to another. But Elisha saw something unique about this man. He saw something about this man that says, I want to be like Elijah. And I want to be like him so much that I know that God is going to take him away. And I'm going to ask this man something to leave behind for me. And Elijah told him that, listen, I'm willing to give it to you, man, but if I leave and you don't see me leave, you ain't going to receive it. But if I leave and you do see me leaving, then that which you ask for, which is, by the way, a hard thing, you will get it, Elisha. And so here's the thing. All of us eventually will be taken up from this world. But the question is, when I'm taken from this world, what is it that I will leave behind for you to follow after, or for my son or my daughter to follow after? It is my mantle in some cases, or it is my spirit. Now, here's the thing about Elijah's mantle. His mantle really was just his coat, and or his cloak, you might say. And the cloak that he left behind, it wasn't just what Elijah wanted. Elisha wanted more than just his coat, because when we die, when we leave this world, we have a tendency to leave clothes behind. And so therefore, if I was to die, you see me like this. This coat that I have on, my son might want it. Or maybe he doesn't want it, but I've left it behind, and anything, son, that fits me, you can have it. Or maybe there are some other people out there that don't have clothes to wear or proper clothes, and they might want this jacket. It is my mantle that I leave behind. But the unique thing about Elijah's mantle is he was able to take it, and he was able to wrap it up, and he's able to smoke the waters, and there became miracles as a result of the mantle that he had on. And so therefore, when Elijah even got his mantle, he took his mantle because he realized it is something precious and it's something that I could use for the glory of God. He got his mantle and he smote the waters as well. And the waters were divided because they had gone over Jordan and he had to get back across to the other side. What kind of mantle do we leave for people? as the one that can leave a mantle, am I leaving the proper mantle for my son or even for the next generation? Because like I say, each one of us will eventually leave this world. And really, what this does, it represents the type of spirit that we have. Am I the type of individual that has the spirit in me where I'm going to hoard up all the gas? I'm going to take in and go get my tank full, but I'm not going to help somebody else. I'm not going to let somebody else get a break in line. And I realize that that can cause fights. But am I the person that I'm just going to say, this is the type of individual that I am, and I'm going to leave something behind that's worse off than what it was when I had possession of it? And so really the mantle that we leave are our clothes. Now, by us leaving clothes behind and by Elisha asking for something from Elijah, it shows the type of individual that Elijah was. You be the type of person like Elijah that somebody else see in you that they would want. It might be your clothes. But even more so, Elisha saw that there was a spirit on Elijah that he wanted. He just didn't want his clothes. He just didn't want his mantle because he had his own. But he saw something unique about Elijah that said, I want a double portion of the spirit that is in you. I want a double portion of the goodness and the amazing works that's in you, Elijah. That is the kind of individual we are to be. Elijah was leaving a spirit, but Elijah wanted the spirit that he was leaving behind because he knew his master was going to be taken away. And as an individual, us, the older ones, the parents of the house, we ought to want to leave something behind for our children besides clothes, besides a little car, a little money. Besides a little property, we ought to want to leave behind a spirit in which we are saying, our children wants to be like dad. Our children wants to be like mom because they are unique and they are a blessing to humanity. And I want my children to be the same way. The mantle that I leave, I'm hoping that my son can see it in me and say, Dad, I want to be like you. But in fact, I want to even be better than you because you've left me an example to follow after. And so Elijah himself represents the type of individual that we ought to want to be like. I want to be like the guy that's good. I want to be like the guy that's trying to be a blessing in the world and not just taken out of the world. And the thing about it is that I want a double portion, my God. I want a double portion of the goodness that's in Elijah. Because who knows what kind of world that's going to be left behind when I leave. And the thing about it, that the world that's left behind in most cases is in a worse condition, and there needs to be somebody with a double portion of my goodness that can help straighten out this world. And so you, parents, leave behind not just your mantle, not just your properties. Leave behind something good that these children can follow after. Leave behind a good spirit that they can be like. All of us are like our parents in some kind of way. You either look like him or you act like him or her, or you do something that's just like them. And in a sense, that's the mantle or that's the spirit that is of them, but I want to take it beyond that. Father, I know you were a good man, but I want to be even better than the man that you were. And if this whole world could be that way, how much better would this world be? But to show you how things have gotten to be, this is what the generations have come down to. The generations have gotten to the point where they don't ask for the mantle of the previous people, because at one time in America, this used to be a godly nation. This used to be the type of nations wherein no matter who it was that we looked up to, we respected them, and we honored them, whether it be a mother or father, whether it be an elder in the church, or just an older person that lives on the same street of you and me. It used to be a time that we honored those individuals. But because the young people, and I'm not saying this to slight the young people, but as each generation goes on, because the younger ones grow up, they see the mantle of the world, they want more of the world instead of more of the mantle that's on the good man or the good woman. Here it is something that I saw that was pretty unique in terms of the spirit that God wants us to have. When God made Adam. In it says that in Genesis, I believe 2 and 7, it says that he took man and formed him of the dust, but then he blew the breath of life into him, and man became a living soul. In essence, God likes it when we take on his mantle or his spirit. Not just the outward man. The outward man reflects really what's on the inside. But he breathed the breath of life into Adam because he gave Adam a portion of his life. And therefore, Adam was to continue that life throughout the ages. But Elisha wanted a double portion of really what God had placed into Elijah. As well, the story in which we have with Jesus when he was resurrected from the grave. And he came to the disciples. And when he came to the disciples, this is in John chapter 20. And when he came to the disciples, they were all in this one room. And he came through the doors without having to open the doors. Because that's the way the spirit man can be. Go through a door and I can be in and commune with all of you all. And I haven't even opened the door. And it says that Jesus said that he breathed upon them and said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." In essence, what he was doing, he was blowing his spirit out on them and placing his spirit man in them to make them better individuals than what they were. Because remember, at one point in time, these were the same guys that had ran from Jesus, ran away on Jesus because they were afraid for their own lives and didn't want to stick up for the life of the King of Kings, the Lord of Glory. But it shows us we can have the mantle. And there are people today that will kill, they will steal, they'll do everything they could. If they could find the cloak that Jesus wore, they would want it and they'd sell it for $1 billion because it would sell for that much. They want his mantle, but they don't want his spirit. They want the things that he did and the things that he left behind on the earth, but they don't want that which can take them to heaven. How do I know this? Because of all the people in the world, there are many of them that don't want to know God. And God is always wanting to put his spirit in people. But instead of us receiving the mantle that God has to offer, we take on the mantle of the world, because the mantle of the world is getting all the things that I can get out of this world with no regards for God, being as prosperous as I can get without any regard for God, not realizing that all of it does come from God. But God, I want a double portion of your spirit. And if you want to give me the mantle, if you want to leave behind your cloak or your staff or anything, God, that's of physical nature, I'll take it too. But most of all, God, I want to be like you. Because in being like you, Father, and with a double portion, I'm able to make this world a much better world. And so in Genesis, God did leave Adam with a good spirit. He left him with a living soul. And isn't it amazing how it is that when God blowed the breath of life into Adam, Adam received the spirit of God. He as well received the mantle of God, which was the covering. That's the reason why he and Adam didn't realize, in a sense, that they were naked. God had already clothed them, in a sense, in their minds so that they couldn't see each other naked. But wouldn't have mattered. They would not have been ashamed. But isn't it amazing how it is that when God left Adam, he came back and Adam had a different mantle on him than what it was that God had provided him with? Because when he came back, he found that Adam had some fig leaves sown about him. In other words, sometimes the mantle that we try to make for ourselves isn't the kind of mantle that God wants us to have. The mantle that God wants us to have is that which comes from him. Not only did Adam have a different mantle wrapped around him, but he had a different spirit as well, because he had the spirit of the world and not the spirit of God that had blown into him. Not only was he a living soul now, but he was a soulish man, but now he was a dead soul. Because he said that in the day that you partake of this fruit, ye shall die. And he did partake of it, and he died spiritually. His soul was dead, had no regard for God. I say that was a man that did not have the mantle of God anymore. But now he had the mantle of the world. He did not have the spirit of God, but now he has the spirit of man. Here's the point, really, in what I'm wanting to say today. And the point is, as
and Elijah, I should want to transfer my spirit to somebody else. And that is to say, I want to transfer a good spirit. As an Elisha, I ought to want to receive the spirit from somebody that comes before me. And that is to say, I want a good spirit. And so in your searching, maybe you might think to yourself, I want to be like so-and-so. I want to be like this person or that person. Make sure that that person is a good person. Make sure that they go beyond that is a godly person and not just a good person doing good things. Because all of our works and all of the goodness that we have wrapped around us is going to be tried by fire one day. And Jesus said that, Paul said that, your works are going to be tried. And our works, when they're tried, you're going to determine whether they're wood, hay, or stubble, or whether it's going to be gold or silver or precious stone. You see, so even when I look good in this fine apparel that I might have on or you might have on, when it comes down to it, is it the kind of apparel that I really want? Is it the kind of apparel that I want to pass to my son or my daughter? Is it the kind of apparel that I want to pass on to these young boys? Because I can leave all of them, all the money in the world that they might want, but it really ain't the kind of spirit that they're to have. The kind of spirit that they should want and the mantle that they should want is, not only am I a good son, a good daughter, but it reflects in the way that I carry myself. I carry myself in goodness. I carry myself by the way that I dress. I carry myself by the way that I talk and the way that I walk. I carry myself so that when it comes down to the real pressures of life, people see the good nature that is within me. And the second thing I should say is this. When you ask for a spirit from somebody else, and you know that that person is the kind of person that you want to be like, don't just say, God, bless me to be like that person. Say, God, double up the spirit. Triple up the spirit. Pour more into my life so that I can make a difference in this world than even the person that I'm trying to be like. And so, therefore, I don't want to just be Stephen. I don't want to be like, as an example, my father. I want to be better than my father. God, not only do I want you to put into me the good characteristics of my dad and my mom, but God, take those characteristics that's in me from them and make them even better than the way they were. And when we have a son or a daughter that can be that way, you'll see a son or a daughter that ain't selfish, ain't falling for the things of this world, but they are sold out to the things that are of God. In closing, I want to say this, because if you were to look at these scriptures here in 2 Kings, and if you were to make a comparison between these two men, there was an Elijah, and Elisha. The proof is in the pudding as to whether one received what he asked for and the other one left behind what he wanted to leave behind. And here's the proof. First of all, in comparison, there was Elijah who did marvelous acts. He did marvelous works. Not only did he come against the nation of Israel, the false prophets of Baal, and he showed forth the good works that was in him to destroy those men that came up against him. But at the same time, this guy did other miracles. And here are some of the miracles that he did. There was a widow one time that didn't have food to eat. She didn't have oil in her barrel to make food for her and her child. And when we think about it today, here's one of the things that we're dealing with. We're dealing with oil. And in some cases, we don't have the oil to put in our gas tanks. I say this to you. Maybe you might know somebody that just don't have enough money to put some gas in their tank. Or maybe you know somebody that's stranded out on the highway and you go by them flying at 70 or 80 miles an hour and you see that person and the Spirit of God speak to you, says, stop and help that individual. Help them, because you're showing forth the kind of nature, the kind of spirit that is godly. You might know somebody that, you know, you don't have much money in your pocket yourself, but then there's somebody that's kind of stuck in a tough situation. Why don't you split that which you have to help them out of their dilemma, and God will bless you back more with the dilemmas that you have. That's just the way that God works. I know it as a fact. Because I've been having challenges trying to get gas. I've been having challenges trying to get to the tank and so forth and so on. And every time that I really needed to get to a tank to find gas, some station just happened to be in my neighborhood that's got it. And although I had to wait and I had to press and I had to work for it, I still am able to find it. It show forth that God will supply my needs according to his riches and glory. It's just the way that God works. Now, it may not happen that way all the time. I'm not saying it's going to happen that way for you or even for me the next time. I just know this, and I put my trust in God that he's going to make a way out of no way. And so Elijah, he gave a widow an increase in oil. Elijah also raised a dead child up and caused that child to live again. Thirdly, Elijah divided the Jordan River with his coat. And when he did it, he was able to go over on dry ground. Elijah, for a period of time, there was a drought in the land, and Elijah caused the land to receive rain because it needed it. The spirit that was on him was a good spirit, and he did good things. But at the same time, he dealt with the enemy. And he fought against the enemy the way that he had the means to do so, because there came a time in which there were people, they brought together these 450 prophets of Baal, and they had a contest, as it were. And this contest proved who was God's servant and who was the enemy's servant. And he caused fire to come down from heaven and consume the sacrifices that was on that altar. And as well, he went beyond that, and he caused fire to come down from heaven, and he killed a whole bunch of soldiers that were against him. All in all, I was able to count about 6 miracles that Elijah did. But here's what's so unique about that. Elisha, who wanted to be like Elijah, didn't only just want to be like Elijah, but he wanted a double portion of what Elijah was able to do and beyond. And here's how it is. Elisha did about 12 miracles that I could find out in the Bible. Now, for a man to ask for a double portion, and wherein one does 6 and another does 12, I would say that he got a double portion of what he asked for. Because with Elisha, he did the same thing that Elijah did, and that was he increased the oil that was in this Shunammite woman's house because she blessed him. And when he increased the oil in her house, she had food to survive through the hard times. See, he didn't just only say, I'm going to just bless myself, but he, in asking her to pour forth something into his life, he increased that oil. Not only did he increase the oil in this woman's house, but a second miracle he did, he increased the food that was in her house because he had meal that was there until the drought was over and she was able to eat continually over and over and over again. Second miracle. The third one was this. Not only did Elijah raise a child from the dead, but he as well, Elijah raised a child from the dead. Goes to show that this man was emulating the prophet that he was going after, but he wanted a double portion. He's able to do the same thing that the man that he wanted to be like was able to do. He was able to as well divide the Jordan River, because remember when I said that Elijah was taken up into glory, the Spirit of God fell back on Elijah, and he had to get back on the other side of Jordan. So he just took the mantle of the man that he was following and split the Jordan River and went back as well on dry land. But let's take it a little bit farther. There was a time that Elisha purified water because the waters were bitter. I say this is a miracle beyond the other one. As well, there was a man named Naaman that came to him and said, look, I got leprosy, and I need you to my understanding, you are able to heal some people. And he got healed. And so there was another miracle that this man was able to do. There was a man that came against him named Gehazi, and he brought leprosy upon that individual because he came against the prophet of God. Remember what I said last week, and that is, in your family affairs, be careful of coming against the men of God, the men and the women that's in your household that are your parents. Be careful of coming against the elders and the people that are older than you are, because leprosy might come upon us if we do that. But he went farther than that. He also blinded the Syrian army that came against him. Another miracle he did, there was a servant that was blind, and he caused this young servant to see with his eyesight. And then lastly, there was a miracle in which there was, they were out in the woods chopping, and this axe, the axe of this axe handle fell off into the water, and they didn't know where it was. And he caused that axe handle, axe, the metal, to float from the waters. And you might think to yourself, that's kind of a strange miracle to perform. Well, you have to understand something about that. Back during that time, it was hard for them to survive. And so the axe was a cutting tool that a man used to survive, to cut down trees, to provide provision for himself, in a sense. So his livelihood had fallen down into the water. Not only his livelihood, but it was the livelihood of someone else because he had borrowed the axe. How many of you have borrowed something from somebody and you lost it? Or you borrowed something from someone else and it ain't in the shape that you wanted to take it back in because something happened. Elijah performed 12 miracles that I could count. Elijah, 6. Double portion fell upon the ladder. Now here it is in my ending. It's this. I have a mantle. You have a mantle. And there's a spirit on me and a spirit on you. But the question is, as these young people look at us, for us older ones, what kind of spirit are they seeing? What kind of man are they looking at? What kind of woman are they looking at? Are they looking at Jezebels so that they can say, I want to be like her and I want to follow after her? Are they looking at a Judas in whom my child knows that not only is he not giving to the church, but he's also stealing from the church? Because there are some people like Judas that stole from the good works of the Lord and not giving to the works of the Lord. Are there children that's looking at my life and your life just saying, they shouldn't be doing that, and they're doing it anyway, and we're supposed to be the pattern because there's a mantle that's on me that they look after. There's a spirit in me wherein they say, Mama, I didn't know that you cursed, but this person made you mad, and you cursed them, slam out. It's the spirit that we leave behind. Or, Dad, I didn't know you did things that you should not have been doing like that. You see, our children really imitate the environment that they're in. And our children just, they just grow up the same way that their mom and dad was. And also, they grew up just like some of the neighbors are. That's why we have some of these kids, and I mentioned once before, they walk around with their pants hanging down. They aren't growing up because of they received the spirit of God, but they received the spirit of this world. And the spirit of this world is damnation. It sends them to hell. Now, I want to say this last little thing about what Jesus did. When over in John chapter 20, he went into these disciples. You know, when he breathed on these disciples, all of them, he said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. In essence, what he did, he was placing the mantle on them. He was placing the spirit on them that shows authority and showed power. It showed something that maybe they weren't even accustomed to having because they were afraid. They were timid. And they wanted to be like God in one sense, but they didn't have the power to be like God. And I'm talking about a period of time in which the Holy Ghost hadn't come in the book of Acts. I'm talking about a special time that Jesus came to these guys and said, receive ye the Spirit of God. I'm putting my mantle on you. I'm putting my spirit on you and in you so that you can go forth and do some great works. Everybody that was there received it, except there was one or two other guys. And one was Thomas. And why isn't it that Thomas received the Holy Spirit at that time? Thomas wasn't there, but later on they told him about what had happened and how it was that Jesus breathed upon him and how it was that they saw Jesus. And Thomas said, man, I don't even believe you guys. The only way I'm going to believe it is I got to see the nail scars in his hand. And I got to see the piercing in his side, perhaps. You see, what Thomas was doing, he was doubting. And if you think about how the world is, the world will doubt the Spirit of God, but they will quickly receive the spirit of the enemy. And sometimes we have to prove to them that, no, I really am from God. But how is it that you're going to believe that I'm from God? By the works that I do, by the acts that I do, the talk that I talk, the walk that I walk, it is from God. Because God is good, and he's good all the time. And the goodness of God is pouring forth from my life. And when he pours forth from my life, man, you can see that I am like God. And his spirit is upon me. And his mantle is upon me. And I, yes, I do perform miracles. And I do good acts in the world. But Thomas didn't believe it because he wasn't with them at that point in time. And I give him credit for this because a lot of people are receiving a spirit that they think is of God and is not of God. And the Bible tells us that we are to try the spirits to see whether they be of God or the devil. And so don't just receive the spirit from anybody. You get to know that individual that you're receiving the spirit from. And that's why I say, as mothers and fathers, it's easy for us to transfer the spirit and the mantle upon our children, and they will receive any mantle that we transfer. If I'm a crook, my son, chances are, will be a crook. If I'm a thief, he's going to be a thief for the most part. But if I'm a good man, if I'm a good woman, they're going to be kind of like we are. So leave a good mantle. Ask for a double portion of a good mantle for those that are asking. And you'll see that God will give you a double portion just like he did with Elisha. Because he honored the man of Elijah. And in fact, in history, only two people that ever went up to glory without dying. Elijah and Enoch. Enoch was so good of a man that he didn't even leave a mantle behind. He said, I'm just getting out of here. Forget everybody else. But no, it's a part of all of God's working and what he wants to do in our lives. I just believe that what Elijah was receiving is what God wants to show us how we are to leave or what we are to leave behind for the next generation. Because let's face it, this next generation is going to be in a world of hurt. When you look at the morality and you look at the conniving and the things of that nature that's going on, I mean, we got it even today. It's just tough because people are greedy and people just don't want to do the right thing. They want to make gains for their own means. Even when we look at the national level, when we got congressmen and women, people that's supposed to represent us in the different states that we're in, they're crooks. A lot of them are. And we vote for them every year. And for what? I remember ever since I was a child, President Kennedy was the longest president, you know, the farthest one back that I can remember. And every year they say that when I get into office, not only the president, but the Congress and representative, they say, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this for the people and that for the people. And that may be the case. Some of them might be trying as hard as they can. But how is it that we end up in a mess if everybody's saying that I'm going to do good? And they ain't doing good. And so it's almost like it's perplexing for me to even go to the polls to vote. And I'm not trying to get on any kind of political kick. Only thing I can say is you look at the person that you want to vote for and go vote for that individual. Study your life and see what kind of person you are to see if the person that's going to be running for the offices line up with what you believe and what you see and that you want this world to have. But all I want to do, I want to leave behind a spirit where people can say, Stephen was an all right guy. And he left behind a particular spirit wherein he ain't with us today, but in Joy Ministries, we can continue on in the spirit of his likeness because we want what he's got. And in fact, we want to make it even better than what he left it. That's the way I want people to think. And that's why I say this morning when I was kind of rebuking to say, you don't do this and you don't do that, because it really ain't the spirit of Stephen. And I want you all to have the spirit of Stephen. And I want you to have even a better spirit of Stephen, because when people see me, they can say, yeah, you are the pastor of Enjoy Ministries. But when they see the saints out there acting crazy and so forth, they say, oh, yeah, and they go to Enjoy Ministry. It must be the way that the pastor is. Because you have my mantle. And you have my spirit that's resting on you, I hope. Father, in Jesus' name, bless your people. Honor your word. Cause it to grow up in us and help us by your might and your power. God, to not only receive the mantle and the spirit of the great one, but as well walk in a double portion of that great one that we received from. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You may stand for a moment. and we are preparing to close, I really do say, if you leave this world, leave the world, leave a good mantle behind. Leave a good spirit behind. And God will take that which you have, and He'll change this world. He'll change this world. All right, with the precious time that we have before us, I just wanted to offer you the opportunity to come up and receive prayer. For those of you that don't know who Jesus is, don't know that He's able to save, and let me tell you this, He is able to save. He's able to give you things that you might not have ever thought that you could receive. I know this much. If I can't receive the mantle of one of you guys, I'm going to receive the mantle from Christ. And therefore, just like Paul said, when he said, follow me as I follow Christ, in some cases, you might need to look beyond me and say, God, I'm going to follow you. Because Stephen, or Brother Bobby, or Elder Lee, or Elder Mike, any of these guys or these ladies around here, they're messing it up. So I ain't going to follow them. I'm just going to trust in you for myself. You do that. Anybody need prayer for anything concerning anything in life? Do you need to be saved? Do you want the Spirit of God in your life? Do you want to walk in His anointing, in His power? Amen. Any sickness, any disease, anything in your life that maybe you're just having a challenge with, we want to pray for you, even if you're having some kind of situation. You know, I say this, let me say this to clarify, not clarify, but really as an important thing to say. When I saw the book of Acts, and when all these saints came together, you know, they were going through hardships of all sorts. They were running for their lives. They were hidden in places that they didn't necessarily want to be hidden. You don't think that they just happened to end up in one house because they just loved each other that much. No, in some cases, they were trying to protect themselves from the things that was coming against them. They were running from soldiers because many of them were being tortured and killed. They didn't have food to eat. They didn't have clothes to wear in some cases. And so when they came together like that, they were just trying to be a blessing to one another. And so my point to you is this. If you're one of those people that, God, you just bless me. But I know somebody, even if they ain't a saint of God, I know somebody that's having a little challenge. Dig in for whatever it is that you have and bless that person. Help them make it through maybe the next day. That's why when I say to you in your giving to Enjoy Ministries, it ain't for me. It's to help other people maybe that may be having a little challenge. And maybe they're just saying, I just need help for this day. Because tomorrow is going to be all right, but tomorrow ain't going to be all right if we can't make it through the day. Because what good is tomorrow for a person if a guy dies today? He doesn't need tomorrow. And so in your ability, now if you don't have that ability or if you are lacking yourself, we all should be close enough to each other that we as brothers and sisters can say, hey, do you mind helping me out a little bit without thinking that they're going to be talked about? I just say that as a word for us at Enjoy Ministries to bless one another and help one another as the Spirit of God lays some upon your heart. And I say this, even some of you young guys that got jobs and so forth working, I know you ain't got no responsibility because you're living with your mom and your daddy and you're eating their food and laying in their bed, soaking up their energy. Some of you got monies to spend and you might be out there blowing it all out in your gas just riding around town or maybe going to the movies and so forth and so on. And God might lay upon your heart, you know, I think this person might have need of something. Bless that individual. Bless an older person that maybe is in your neighborhood that's just struggling and you have the extra means to help them. And I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about in all things. Maybe their grass needs to be cut. Maybe their garbage needs to be taken out. Maybe they just need a little help to get by. That's all I'm saying. So if you haven't gotten anything out of my other message, get it out of the